This is Chapel for September 24th, 1986. The speaker is Professor Daniel Caro, Professor of Philosophy, Greek, and Hermeneutics of the International Baptist Seminary, Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. May we sing together hymn 171 as we stand. Our sustainer and our friend, we dedicate again ourselves and our gifts that you have given us to you and your work in the world. We acknowledge your providential guidance in our lives, and we praise and thank you for calling us into your ministry. Gracious and almighty God, we confess that we fall short of your purposes for us. We even fall short of our expectations for ourselves. We want to touch the world with goodness, but often we hold back in anxiety and self-doubt. We want to live with integrity and stand for truth, but we're afraid. Our allegiance is divided. Our will is immobilized by fear and uncertainty. We would warm the lives of others with love, but we hesitate for fear of rejection or being misunderstood. We would work each day with confidence and joy, but we find ourselves weighted down with the burdens of our own worldly concerns. And so we come this morning longing for the reassurance of your acceptance, dear Lord, and for the renewed confidence of your forgiveness. Give us the courage to live this day, our commitments renewed, to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. In our seminary community this year are two very wonderful people. Daniel and Dina Caro from Buenos Aires, Argentina. Mrs. Caro is from Uruguay, her father a longtime Baptist pastor in that country and now the director of the Bible Society for Uruguay. She and Daniel met in Buenos Aires, and both now are professors, she of music and he of New Testament Greek and hermeneutics in the International Baptist Seminary there. We are grateful to have them as a part of our seminary family this year, and Daniel will come in a few moments and speak to us.
Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 13. Some people doesn't like the number 13, but I like it. So faith, hope, love abides. These three. But the greatest of these is love. So faith, hope, love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. We all know that. But I wonder how much we realize that. Only from a spirit cradled to the warmth of God's fear comes wisdom. From a spirit formed under the strictness of science comes knowledge, But knowledge is not wisdom. From a spirit formed under the seeking of truth comes philosophy, but philosophy is not wisdom. From a spirit formed under the tutelage of the church comes religion, but religion is not wisdom. The most important thing for a minister is not how much she or he knows, how many truths she or he says, how much religious she or he is. But if you want to be a minister, you need to learn to put first things first. The very first priority for a Christian minister is wisdom. If you are going to be a minister, you need urgently to be wise. More important than the ministry we are going to perform, it is the kind of ministers we are going to be. More than to make the right things, we minister need to learn how to be the right person in the right moment. Paul the Apostle points the way of wisdom for us this morning. The saying says that when the wise man points the moon, the fool looks at his finger. Paul for us today is like a wise man pointing the ultimate realities by which we must live. Let us discover in his pointing the nature of persons we need to be wise, to be good ministers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, faith, hope and love abides. These three, but the greatest of them is love. These three are known historically as the three theological virtues. Or you can say that these three are gifts from the Holy Spirit. It depends on what side are you intending to see them. From the human side, they are virtues. From the divine, gifts. Gifts or virtues, these three are what we need as human beings, as human ministers, to be what God wants us to be. Wise. Wise enough to make God's work, but to rely on Him. Wise enough to know the dullness of the instrument and the majesty of the one who uses it. This is not the only passage in the New Testament where theological virtues or gifts of the Holy Spirit are named. In Galatians, Paul enlists love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Peter, on his side, says that we must make every effort to supplement our faith with virtue, our virtue with knowledge, our knowledge with self-control, our self-control with steadfastness, our steadfastness with godliness, our godliness with brotherly affection, and our brotherly affection with love. And he adds, for if these things are yours and abound, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. James, the first bishop of Jerusalem and half-brother of our Lord, points to the same in his brief pastoral and general letter when he said, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, without uncertainty or insincerity. And the harvest of justice is sown in peace by those who make peace. What a superb description of Christian character do we have in these passages of Scripture. But Paul, the greatest of Jesus' followers of all times, point to our duty in only three simple, small, slight words: faith, hope, and love. Simple but tremendous, small but great, slight but tough. The greatest of modern philosophers, Immanuel Kant, said that the search of man in all centuries could be reduced to four simple questions. The first question is, what can I know? And to that answers metaphysics. The second question is, what may I hope? And to that answers religion. The third question is, what ought I to do? And to that answers ethics. And the last question is, what is man? And to that answers and philosophical anthropology. 1 Corinthians 13:13 has wisdom enough to reduce and engulf metaphysics, religion, ethics, and philosophical anthropology in three small answers to the human quest of all times. Three small answers, yes, but not less important. Three small answers like faith, hope, and love. Faith links us to our past. Faith answers the first of Kantian questions. What can I know? All we can know comes from our past. We are our past. Faith shows us where we may stand and where it's better not to stand. Faith shows us a past of faith. We have, as Christians, a heritage of faith. We must not lose sight of our past. By faith, we understand that the world was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken up. By faith, Noah built up the ark. By faith, Abraham went out not knowing where he was to go. By faith, Moses and Gideon and Samson and David and the others of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, all who, though well attested by their faith, did not receive what was promised but endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, Paul converted from persecutor to persecuted. By faith, Peter baptized the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. By faith, Stephen was made the first Christian martyr. By faith, acted Philip and Timothy and Barnabas, just to mention some of them. By faith, Christianity endured the centuries, crossing cultures and living under different tyrannies and governments. By faith, our Anabaptist fathers made the radical Reformation. By faith, Roger Williams founded his colony. By faith, Sidney Sowell crossed the oceans to come to Argentina when this century was born, to join Pablo Besson, the Swiss pioneer who initiated Baptist work in my country. Sowell and Besson, two different personalities, but the same and only one heritage of faith. By faith, this seminary was founded in 1950. By faith, men like Signor Steele, Olin Binkley, John Steele, and many others gave their blood, sweat, and tears to this seminary and the kingdom of God. By faith, sister and brothers, by faith. Faith alone, not by science, not by philosophy, not by religion. Are we willing to change our past right now? We perhaps could do it, but our ancestors will not allow us to do it, because we are nothing more than our ancestors. All of them are with us in the making of this new age of Christianity. We are not alone. Know it. You are not alone in your ministry. Your ancestors come with you. They are a great company. We are surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses that still today we cannot but speak what we have heard and seen. As Peter said to the Israelites in Solomon's portico, I say to you this morning, we are the sons of the prophets. We are the sons of the covenant which God gave to our fathers. We are the world. We are the children of those who gave us this heritage of faith. What are we going to do with it? Faith, my brother, faith is the password given to us. We must pass it on before it's too late. Not only faith is needed, but hope. Hope on the other side links us to our future. Hope answers to the second human question according to Kant. What may I hope? Hope shows us where can we go from here on. We Christians have a great future. We are the people of the future. We are the germ of the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, the bride prepared and adorned for his husband. We must not lose sight of our future. We are the people who believe that the church will never be defeated. We believe that tomorrow belongs to us. We believe this not because we are egocentric or paranoid, but because we have seen it historically. Many times in history, it seems to be that God's purposes were going to be mocked. But as Paul said, do not deceive yourself. No one makes a fool of God, for whatever a man plants, that he will also reap. God was not mocked by the sin of our fathers Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God was not mocked by the Egyptian Pharaoh. God was not mocked by the Babylonic deportation. God was not even mocked by the death of his only begotten Son at the cross of Calvary. He was risen at the third day. From the very depth of death, Jesus was raised up to the highest of life. God was never mocked, and neither will he be mocked today. The purposes of God for your life, the purposes of God for this seminary, for the entire Southern Baptist Convention, for his kingdom, are not going to be mocked. God is not going to be mocked by any smart human being or society, because even the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So, sisters and brothers, have hope. Lift up your eyes to tomorrow, and like Stephen, see the glory of God that waits for those who are faithful. It is true that Stephen was stoned. Our Lord also suffered the cross. Perhaps we will need also to suffer for a while. Baptist heritage is one of suffering. But this suffering, this blood spread over the world, is like Abel's blood that cried out to heaven for justice. This is the historical grandness of spirit of Baptist in the past, and we are their result. Our actual faith was their hope for tomorrow. Our reality today was what they prepared for us yesterday. So have hope. Tomorrow belongs to that one who is able to hope. Everything is not lost. One moment of doubt and despair comes. But if we, as Abraham, in hope believe against hope, we will also rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Because of that, we rejoice even in our suffering, says Paul, knowing that suffering produces endurance, And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Faith is needed. Hope is indispensable, but love is essential. Love links us to our present. Love answers the other two Kantian questions: what ought I to do, and what is man? We Christians have a great past. We have a glorious future. But more than that, we have an important and ineludible present. The present is here. The moment is now. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. This is the core of our Christian message. In love, past and future are bound together in an eternal now. Some sleep in the laurels of their past. Others indulge in the dreamland of future. But a loving Christian fills the present hour with its inexorable 16 minutes. Love is the essence of the hour. An eternal now without love would be a jail of torments and despair. But love makes the now valuable. Because of love is joyful to live. Love makes man valuable. Because of love it is nice to be human. Love makes ethics to have sense. Without love, human actions would be only ridiculous behavioral patterns. Love makes the difference. Minister, love will make the difference in your ministry. People will never remember how many theologians did you quote in your last sermon. They will forget easily the last explanation you tried to give them about what was the difference, if any, between the soul and the spirit. But they will never, never forget your actions of love. Because love plays the most intimate chord in human spirit. Even Frankenstein can shudder and soften in response to an innocent girl's sample of love. The moment of love is now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but now. As the motto of William C. Morris, a great Argentine pastor and educator, was, I will pass through this world only once. If there is any loving word that I could say, any loving action that I could do, let me say this word now. Let me make this action now, because I will never pass. I will pass no more through here. Still the hour is acceptable. Still faith, hope, and love abide. While the world and men be men, faith, hope, and love will be the true theological virtues of the Christian minister and the desperate cry of humanity. Only being faithful, truthful, and loveful, we are going to be the ministers God wants us to be. Be wise, my brother, be wise. Live by them now. Join today the fellowship of myriads of Christians that through the fate of the centuries have discovered the secret of God's power in the living out of three small words: faith, hope, and love. May God bless us as we answer to his message.
Go in the joy of the Lord, remembering that faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of all of these is love. Amen.